So we're on the second part of our vision series, which is Get Free, okay? And you will see on the screen there that there are four cups, right? Those are called the Arba Kasot, which is the Jewish, it's part of the Jewish festival of Passover, where they take four cups. And this ceremony stems from Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 7, where God says that he makes some promises, basically, to the Jewish people. So Ben's been talking about these four cups, and they are an integral part of the Jewish feast of Passover. And they're drunk by each participant, and even the very poorest person is expected to drink from the cup. They represent the eternal promises of God, which are, one, the cup of salvation or sanctification, I will bring you out. And Rose brought a great message last week about being brought out, didn't she? It was absolutely outstanding. If you haven't listened to it yet, it will be on the website, so I want to encourage you to listen to that. Then the second cup is the cup of deliverance. God said to them, I will deliver you. In other words, I will get you free. I will bring you out of slavery. And that's where we're going this morning. We're talking about getting free. And the third cup, the cup of redemption, and the fourth cup, the cup of fulfillment, then Peter and Ben will be covering later in the series. So this morning then, get free. Oh, I didn't know if it was movable, but thank you. I don't want to be tripping over it. So the wonderful thing is that, you know, you can see that the four cups there. There we go. Cup of sanctification, deliverance, redemption, and fulfillment. The wonderful thing is that this last cup, when Jesus took the cup, when it talks about it in the Gospels, particularly in Luke's Gospel, he took the cup. He was referring to the last cup of fulfillment. So all of these other cups, right, they find fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So the same for us, you know, when we are going on this journey with knowing God, getting free, finding purpose, and making a difference, then it all finds fulfillment in glorifying Jesus Christ. We find our fulfillment through being free to glorify Jesus in the way that we are designed to do. So when he took that last cup, he introduced the new covenant, okay? And why did he need to introduce a new covenant? Sharon, you know the answer to this. Because the old one didn't work. The old one was absolutely not working. The old covenant, the promises that God wanted to bring to his people were kind of promises that were just a covering, because the old covenant, the old way of doing things, it couldn't completely save people. It couldn't completely deliver people or redeem people or bring total fulfillment. And so when Jesus took that last cup, he was saying, this is the fulfillment now. This is the actual, you know, the promises of God being fulfilled. And Peter's going to be talking more about the cup of fulfillment. So I'm not going to say much more about it, because I'm talking about getting free. So the good news for us then, as Rose said last week, is that salvation is really simple. It's a simple gift that we can receive just by believing. And just by believing, Jesus brings us out. You know, my our computer is at the repair shop at the moment. It's been there for a while, I have to say. But, you know, you would never take a computer to the repair shop that was completely okay, would you, Jeff? You'd only take it to the repair shop if it needed fixing, okay? So in the same way, when we come to Jesus, we don't come already fixed. We don't come with it all together and, you know, put the keys in and out pops whatever you want. You know, Jesus expects us to come to him in our brokenness, because that's who we are, that's what we are. And he does the fixing, yeah? He is that brilliant repairman that does the fixing. And it says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, and this is the Passion Translation, "For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation. For it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving." So folks, we can't do it. We can't go to God already fixed. You know, we go and Jesus starts to fix us. We receive that gift of salvation. So we've been brought out by Jesus then. In our broken state, we've been brought out by him. Just like the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, we've been brought out of our darkness. And then God, the Holy Spirit, gets to work. And so there's a process of change that begins in us that Christians call regeneration. Okay, it's quite a big word, but this is some of the words that the dictionary uses for regeneration. It means renewal. It means revival, recovery, reinvigoration, reawakening. Yeah? And all of those words kind of find their fulfillment in what is regeneration, because that's what God is doing within each one of us. And Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, "For God is working in you and I." God is working in you and I, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And Paul goes on to say, "Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." So God is doing the work in us, friends, but there is also a responsibility on our part to work hard. Why would Paul say work hard if everything is just, you know, plain sailing? There is a partnership that happens. God is doing the work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to come into partnership with God's will for our lives as well. So the body then, first of all, I want to just talk about the body. Get my little props. So the body, okay, we are tripart. So we've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. Our body wants to do things that actually aren't always best for us, yeah? Our body lusts, our body craves, our body has an unhealthy appetite. It likes to feel good, yeah? If the body is in control of things, we need to watch out, because actually we're heading for trouble. It will follow. And so what happens is that when we allow our body to be in control, there is baggage attached to that. And then we've got the soul, okay? What is our soul? It's our mind, our will, our emotions. We all have a soul. It's like the director of our feelings, yeah? Our thoughts and emotions. Sometimes there can be like a cacophony of stuff that's going on in our soul, in our mind. And if our emotions always direct us, how many people know that that also can lead us into trouble? So we can experience a life that is tossed, very simply, every which way that our emotions want to take us. So this is my hat of baggage. Now then, we come to the spirit. Okay, we all have a spirit. And actually, we are the only part of God's creation that actually has a spirit. And so out of all the things that God created, the Bible says that he created us in his own image. And God is spirit. And we have a spirit. And that is how we connect to God. We are spiritual beings like God. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, it's our spirit that becomes alive. We aren't just forgiven, we are cleansed and we are justified, which is another big Christian word for those that might not have heard it before. It means just as if we had never sinned. A couple of scriptures for you. 1 Corinthians 6:7. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I'll say that again. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Yeah, let's all say that. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Another one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. I love that verse, yeah? And he's here. He is here today. The Lord is Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is a release from slavery, from bondage, baggage. So then, regeneration is about our body and soul being aligned to our spirit, because we are one spirit with God. So Ben mentioned in his talk not too long ago that when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, that was kind of the easy bit. Then he had to get Egypt out of the Israelites. And so, you know, it's kind of the same for us, because God has so many wonderful promises for us. He's got so many plans for our life. He wants us to go on adventures with him. He wants to take us places. And it's very, very hard to go to all the places that God wants us to go with all this stuff attached to our body and our soul. And so I want to just talk about four areas this morning, because we can't get to C without passing through B, can we? It's kind of, you know, it's part of the alphabet. One flows on from the other. So our fulfillment begins in this life and it ends in the next life. Okay, we are passing through. God wants us to be fulfilled on this, in this life, as we will be fulfilled in heaven. And obviously we're not going to be completely like we will be in heaven, because we'll be perfect and we're a long way from that. But we can't be totally fulfilled with all of the baggage. And that means we have to travel light. You know, there's a walk with Father, Son and Holy Spirit that we have to do. So the first thing then is the victory over sin. I'll take my baggage off for a moment. Victory over sin. Okay, though, so through bad choices that we make in life, we kind of attract sin, if you like. We inflict stuff upon ourselves that isn't helpful for our body, and it isn't helpful for our soul, and it's not helpful for our spirit. And that was never God's intent. And you know, the Apostle Paul struggled with it as well. So we're not alone. This is what he said. I've discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I invariably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still in me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. So the great man of God, Paul, you know, like us, had his struggles with sin. But he said, you know, gave us the good news. The answer is in Jesus Christ. He identifies the problem, but he also brings us more good news in Romans 8, verses 1 to 2. He says, now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So what does that mean for us? It means that even though we might struggle, we are on God's team. Yeah? We're on God's team. We're not condemned. We still belong to him. And you know, there's something very, very powerful about belonging. It's very important that people here feel that sense of belonging. I need it. You need it. We all need to feel that we belong, not just to God, but that we belong in this family here. And so there's a quote from Bear Grylls that I just throw out. Belonging within a team has been at the heart of all my adventures, he says. It has helped me make a home in some of the most hostile environments on the planet. You know, and as we travel through life, we can come up against some hostile environments, can't we? We can really find ourselves in places and perhaps even with people that seem to be outwardly hostile. And maybe, you know, you might be going through something even in the workplace right now that isn't particularly great. But belonging, we can always say, well, regardless of that, I belong to God and I belong to his body, Christ's body, the church. So we have to help ourselves. What do we do? It's useful to find someone to be accountable to. It's really, really important that we read the Bible even when we don't feel like it. It's really important that we pray even when we don't feel like it. And get this one, it's really important that we go to church even when we don't feel like it. Because actually, if we isolate ourselves, that just exacerbates that sense of not belonging. And so we need to, you know, we need to make sure that we help ourselves. And if you think about soldiers in an army, there's no soldier that gets up in the morning and says, actually, I want to go to war today. I want to be in that battle. I want to fight that fight. I want to do that marching. I want to, you know, chant that chant or whatever it is that they do in the army. That they don't think, oh yeah, let's do that. Well, I don't think so anyway. You know, it's no, I don't really want to do it, but I'm going to do it for the sake of what I've enlisted for the sake of who I am as a person, and for the sake of the country. And actually, it's not just about me. It's about more than just me. So the second thing is then healing from wounds. Sorry, I'm forgetting my PowerPoint. So healing from wounds. So wounds are not what we do to ourselves like sin is. Wounds are what other people do to us. So stuff that happens in our life that really, really hurts us. Things that we just can't seem to get past, can't seem to get over. Stuff that isn't our fault. And we all have wounds. Yeah, we all get wounded at times. And it doesn't matter how together someone may look on the outside. It can just be a smile painted on. It can just be what they portray to the outside world, but inside, and there's some people here know what I'm talking about. Maybe you work in that environment where you're dealing with people's emotional wounds all of the time. Well, we all have wounds for lots of different reasons, and we put on facades. I want to say to you this morning that in terms of emotional healing, forgiveness is a major player. Forgiveness is a key player. And I can't stress that, you know, strongly enough. We are forgiven by God. We are completely and totally forgiven. You know, we don't have to come, remember, to him fixed. We come in our brokenness, we come in our sin, and he starts to put us back together. And freely, Jesus gave himself. Freely, he died. Freely, he did what he had to do so that we could receive that forgiveness. Totally, freely. And then there's a responsibility on our part. Say, yes, God, I see what you've done. I realize where I've been and the state that I've been in. And I recognize that you're putting me back together. And so I also need to recognize that this person that's hurt me, you were also able to put them back together. And they've hurt me because they're not together. They've hurt me because they are broken in some way. They may have hurt me unintentionally, but nevertheless, we are freely forgiven, and we need to reach out freely to others in forgiveness. And you know, it's not like a plaster that you can put on a child's knee to make everything right. Wounds that are emotional wounds don't just get fixed by that plaster on the knee. Like, it's just such a wonderful thing, a plaster, isn't it? Your child's crying and all of a sudden you produce a plaster, put it on the knee, and everything's just, well, maybe not great, but it goes a long way to making it great. So forgiveness isn't a plaster, but it is a miracle of healing from God. Yeah? It's a miracle of healing from God. Freely we have received. Let us freely give back in forgiveness. So question then, what things control how we think? Is it things from the past? Is it people that we're around? People that we associate with? Or does the Holy Spirit control how we think? It's a good question, isn't it? And Paul says again in Ephesians 4:22-24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So therefore, what he's saying is we need to think new thoughts. You know, when we feel, sense ourselves going down the old thought road, we need to think new thoughts. And there's so many great thoughts to think in the Word of God. You know, we can pick our Bibles up and we can see the promises of God. We can proclaim those truths over ourselves. We can talk to other people who've maybe just been through stuff like that. Christians with some maturity that can point us in the right direction. There's so much we can do. There's many, many things in church life that are geared towards helping us get free. We've got discipleship track. We've got freedom in Christ. We've got sozo, which is Greek for wholeness. And you know, if you are kind of in that position at the moment where there are some stuff, some emotional wounds, and you need some healing, then don't just struggle with it. Please come and see somebody. Please come and talk to somebody, because you know, we all struggle with wounds. I've struggled with wounds in the past, and I've had to maybe go and talk to somebody about it. And God is the God of not the plaster, but the miracle. Yeah, and he will help us through it. So at this point, I'm going to ask Katie Ann, and she's going to just come and share a little bit of her story about what I've been talking about.
Good morning, everyone. She says a little, but actually I couldn't stop writing when I was writing it down, so apologies. But God has been really revealing threads of his presence throughout my journey. And as I was thinking about it, he just told me what I had to share this morning. So some of it is very personal, so I just ask you just to receive it. But ultimately, hear his voice in what I've got to share, because that's ultimately why I'm here. But this is my experience, and I hope you can follow me, so bear with me as you listen. When I was in year 5, a teacher asked me how my mum was doing. And I can still remember this conversation in the corridor. I replied she was okay, she was off work, but you know, she was well. Her response changed everything for me, and it started my journey of questioning and doubt, and ultimately a life drenched in fear. Oh, she said, well, cancer can be so cruel. I'm glad she's doing okay. I think the look on my face said it all. She hurried off to her classroom, because no one had told me she had cancer. You can imagine when I got home that night, the conversations with the parents and the thoughts I was going through, I realised my parents had lied, that something had invaded us from the outside and it was serious. I'd only known about cancer and death, and that was all I knew. And they hadn't told me. They hadn't trusted me with that news. So you can imagine the tears and the tantrums that followed that night. We had been going to church every Sunday as a family, but when the chemo started, my mum was too ill to keep going. I still went with my dad, and we would pray for healing. And in my eyes, those prayers were ignored. And I started to put up walls to help protect myself against the pain, the hurt, and to stop the world around me getting close. I still went to church out of duty, but I'd shut down inside. Soon friendships became hard, and it felt easier to be alone than to take down my safety walls. But this is where, looking back, the thread of God was there. Our vicar recorded an album. One of the songs he used, Psalm 121. I look to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And it just so happened that that was the tune that was playing in the car as we drove back from my mum's funeral. We were driving through the Welsh mountains. Something God knew my visual brain would always retain. Even if I wasn't aware of it at the time, he knew. So fast forward a few years to Lancaster, and an amazing girl from Scotland called Hannah. She was amazing. She used to walk past my door every morning on the way to church, knock on, do you want to come with me? No, not today. It's a bit of a late night last night. No, not today. I've got coursework. No, not today. The year after, she still walked past my house to get to church. She still knocked on. One day I went with her. I had no more excuses. It was just what I should do. They mentioned about Alpha that morning at church, and it just felt like being at home. I can't explain why. It just felt I was meant to be there. So I went to find out more about Alpha. I wasn't going because I wanted to find out about God. I knew God. He was God. We'd learned about him at Sunday school. But I just wanted to go. They said there was food. I was a student. But this is where God really showed me, when I was reflecting back for this talk, how amazing he was. Because God knew I loved food, and I wasn't eating at the time. So he provided a professional chef who made a 3-course meal every week for 30 to 40 people for free. He knew I loved the hills, so for the weekend part away of Alpha, he took us to Hawkshead, which is right up by Lake Windermere. He knew I wouldn't read the weather forecast, so leaving a beautiful sunny Lancaster, we were just wearing sandals and no coat. He knew that a car full of girls would be talking so much that we would not follow the instructions and miss the directions to turn left at the bottom of Lake Windermere but continue driving up the other side. He knew that at that point we would go too far and have to catch the ferry. And he knew that in the middle of Lake Windermere was the perfect time to start the snow for 6 hours. So there we were in Hawkshead in the snow, just thinking, why? 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 He knew I needed time away from the group. He knows me so well. And the only option I had was to go for a walk in the snow in sandals, as you do. And he knew that that was the moment I would stop. He had my attention. And for the first time since year 5 and that conversation with that teacher, I spoke to him. It was at that moment I had, in the craziest of circumstances, I was safe and started taking down my walls with him. He showed me a vision of a CD, which I still remember to this day, and said, look, there's a hole in the middle. You've created that hole, not me. You've made it so that your safety walls mean no one can get close to you. Unless you take down those walls, no one's going to get close. They're just going to keep falling back, and eventually they're going to stop trying. What do you want to do? That was tough. So I said, I want to take down those walls. Later that year, I met Craig. And he's still with me, thank goodness. But in those tough times, it was easier to trust in Craig's faith than mine. When it was really dark in my life, it was easier for him to pray and just say, Craig, your faith will carry me. I don't want to deal with this yet. I still don't want to take down all my wool. I found a way of wearing a mask, but there was deep pain locked away, and I couldn't go back and opened it until Julia Westhead came along. She invited herself round. Craig was working away. I didn't want her to come round. I had this feeling she could see me behind the mask. And I didn't want her to know the real me. It wasn't nice. It was dark. It was painful. It was hard. And I felt she would see through that. And I didn't want her to see that. So I tried to resist. But you were quite persistent. And you came round. And actually, it was one of the best nights of my life, because after she left, I have not cried so much and I have not prayed so much and been in a relationship with God. No longer was he just a person working behind the scenes. He was real. He had given me that freedom to say, it's safe now. And then we sang In Christ Alone, and it took down those walls, because victory has been won in his name. Since then, it's not just been a, that's it, I'm free. I'm continually getting free. Because every time I think I'm free from something, he shows me more that I need to let go of. I've been on Freedom in Christ, and I've taken down so many things in there that I didn't even realize were building bricks to this wall behind. I've got freedom in Sozo, where he's led me in prayer to see where Father God is and how he sees me. And I do encourage you that you do feel naked, especially with Janice and Julia. They can see behind the mask. But isn't it wonderful to be led with such gifted women? For myself as women, you can go to guys. Guys go to guys if you want to. But I just felt so trusted in that relationship that I could be me. And it didn't matter if it was messy and dirty and horrible. They were safe hands to take down those walls with. So if you feel like you've got a wall, find the safe person that you can take down that wall with, because you can't live your life behind those walls. We started doing Spirit Cafe, and again, the times of just being there and just listening to God with guided hands has been incredible. It's taken me into a deeper relationship with Abba Father, restoring my relationship that was stolen from me as a child. Every step with God is a choice, but he needs us to trust him, letting go of childhood pain and lies, which is hard, but he will always be there in our vulnerability. And when it's the right time, he will always provide the healing. Don't miss out on living when there is a way to really start living. Thank you. And along the way, he has blessed my life. He has always been there, enriching the things around me when I was just doing and not being with him. So you might be thinking, well, God's with me because I can see his miracles every day. But are you really in that relationship with him? Are you really free and just listening? And on my birthday, literally last year, a friend gave me a vision of Rahab in Joshua 2 and this scarlet rope to free the spies and be that safe house when the walls came down. And I was like, but she was a prostitute. What are you saying about me? But God used it really to say, there is this thread going through your life. It is the scarlet thread of me. There is always a way to freedom. How awesome is God that she shared with this with me, that there is always safety in God, and he always knows the way to get us free.
Thanks, Katie. So, thank you, Katie Ann, for being that honest and open. And just want to encourage you again that, you know, if that's kind of, if you can relate to what Katie Ann's been saying, if you're feeling that there's stuff, walls in your life that need to come down, you know, God is in the business of setting us free. That's always been his plan, that we would walk in complete freedom and wholeness. So don't kind of suffer alone, and we'll give you an opportunity later if you want to receive some prayer. And I want to wind this up quickly, actually, Julia. Would you be able to come and... So just the third thing then is authority over the enemy. It wasn't for no reason that the Apostle Peter said, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy or adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour. And I want to say to you this morning that we don't have to be that someone. We don't have to be that one person that gets taken down, that gets taken out, because God is for us. You know, God is in the business of working that miracle of deliverance and setting us free. And you know, he's been prowling around throughout history, and his intent is destruction. But our God is stronger, he is bigger, he is more powerful. You know, the enemy thought that by destroying Jesus that he would win for all time, but actually Jesus won for all time because he rose from the dead. He's seated victoriously. But it doesn't change the way that the enemy prowls around on the earth looking for someone to devour. And we're looking at new ways of equipping people to understand the authority that the enemy has, that we have, the authority that we have over the enemy. So we're looking at new ways of moving forward in terms of discipleship and training and mentoring so that people can be free. And the fourth thing, very quickly, that helps us to be free is actually water baptism. Now, you may not have thought that before, but actually it's the truth, because when Jesus commanded us to be baptized, it was a command. It wasn't a polite request. It wasn't, well, maybe, you know, you can if you feel like it. He commanded us to be baptized as his disciples. He said, be baptized, you know, and he was baptized himself, and he said, let it be so, to fulfill all righteousness. He was our example in that. So if Jesus was baptized, how much more important is it for us to follow in his example and be baptized? Because what happens when we're baptized is that we are making a public declaration of something that's happened inside, but also we are making a declaration to all the hosts of heaven that we are that child of God. We are that one that's been brought out of slavery. We are that one that's been freed, set free, redeemed. And we're in the process of living a life of fulfillment. And so baptism is another important step towards being free. I want to just finish by reading this from the Passion Translation again, which I'm really quite into at the moment. It's Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. The force is with us, friends. The force is with us. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you'll be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. So, friends, message this morning is get free. We need to get free so that we can help others get free. We need to get free so that we can live that life of fulfillment that Jesus got for us, so we can make a difference. Because we can't make a real difference if we're carrying loads of stuff around with us. God wants us to be free. We were designed to be free. We are called out of Egypt, out of that spiritual darkness. We're called to be a people who walk light, who walk in the light.